continue worshiping together this morning, attune your hearts to hear these words taken from the first book of Samuel, the third chapter, beginning with the eighth verse. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you, and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Hear what the Spirit is saying.
We are in the midst of a year-long theme of Faith Remastered, a distinctly musically inspired theme playing off of technologies that allow for enhancing sound quality of recordings. We're looking afresh at scripture and other practices in our tradition. You may recall our readings from John Wesley's 1761 Directions for Singing, looking at how they can be dusted off and relevant for the living out of our days. Our current sermon series theme is on mashups, the sometimes good, and to be honest, sometimes bad, blending and merging of lyrics and tunes from two distinct songs. Our relationships are like that too, bringing together distinct personalities and desires in blends that can have all kinds of results. In a week with Thanksgiving, whether spending time with family that you grew up with or with chosen family, we are all perhaps extra attuned to the colorful tapestry woven together from our relationships, loose threads, spectacular patterns, and all. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Will examined Ruth and Naomi, showing how authentic relationship does not simply commodify our interactions. Pastor Will warned us of the pitfalls of participating in what he called a consumptive relational economy. And last week, Pastor Don explored the story of Cain and Abel, looking at the messiness of our relationships and the importance of how we respond, how we rise given the troubles and messiness in our lives. This week, we turn to Samuel and Eli. Will you join me in prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Don't even think about hiding anything from me. Don't hold back. Daniel's maybe 10 or 12 years old when he hears this admonition from his mentor, his foster father, Eli. Since he was just a few years old, he has lived with the priest Eli at Shiloh, the main worship site for the Israelite people before the construction of the first temple in Jerusalem. Now, Eli trained Samuel as a priest. Though this role, I realized this week looking at this passage, this role was not initially one of Samuel's own choosing. While still an infant, Samuel's mother Hannah made promises for Samuel's life. You can read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 1. The text says that she decided he would be a Nazarite from birth, someone set apart for God's service with special rules to follow, like no wine and no cutting of your hair. Surely Samuel could have ignored his mother's faithful dedication of her firstborn to God's service. And perhaps Samuel could have even ignored God's subsequent call. But sometimes, even when we land in circumstances not entirely of our own choosing, we nonetheless embrace them. Samuel embraces the path before him and goes on to become a prophet and leader, ushering in the transition into a monarchy, unifying the disparate tribes of Israelites. So your mother has dropped you off to live with some guy whose own sons were engaging in what one might call extravagant living, enjoying the company of women who were not their wives and skimming off the best portions of the meat that the people were offering to God. You can read about this in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Eli's sons corrupted their roles as religious leaders. And while it may sound as harsh to you as it does to me, the text says that God punished their despicable, greedy behavior by essentially cursing their family. So Samuel's lived with Eli for maybe a decade at this point. And the text says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Samuel knew his religious duties, but there was something more for him to know. Samuel, Samuel! It's the middle of the night when Eli says once and then again, "No, I'm not calling you." Only on the third time, as we our scripture text this morning picked up in the story, only the third time does Eli understand what's going on. Eli understands that God is calling Samuel. In his role as spiritual mentor, Eli guides Samuel into a receptive state to hear from God. Ironically, in equipping Samuel to understand that it is God calling, Eli empowers Samuel to hear a word against Eli's family. Samuel receives a vision that he is afraid to share the information with Eli, and rightly so. "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." Eli wants Samuel to hide nothing from the vision. We manage a lot of our relationships hiding something, telling part truths, or what we think someone wants to hear. You can imagine Samuel interpreting the vision into something like, "Well, the actions of your kids leave a lot of room for improvement." Eli demands that Samuel hide nothing, and in doing so, Eli demands from himself that he pay attention to what Samuel says. Eli gets ahead of any half-truths, insisting that Samuel tell him everything. Authentic relationship demands the hard work of truth-telling. When we hide things, we are in control. On the other hand, truth-telling leaves us vulnerable. Vulnerable to not being believed, vulnerable to attack, vulnerable to being shunned or ostracized. But the cost of hiding things can be high as well. Authentic relationship also demands the hard work of truth listening. To hear someone else's experience means risking your own comfort, risking the possibility that you will have to adjust your own understandings. But that is what living in authentic community demands. In a time of technology allowing for tremendous communications, fake news is perhaps an inevitable consequence of the desire for people to control messaging. Both saying and receiving real news, real facts, real feelings takes intention and courage. When Eli tells Samuel to hide nothing, it means Eli is also telling himself to hear what is being said. In thinking about truth-telling and truth-listening these last few weeks, I can't help but think about the many women, and some men as well, who have been moved recently to share their experiences of sexual harassment and sexual assault. Even here in 1 Samuel, and it's in the first couple chapters of 1 Samuel before our scripture lesson, we read of power dynamics and sexual impropriety. God holds to account the sons of Eli for taking advantage of their religious roles and their sexual relations with the women who served as greeters at the worship site at Shiloh. I've appreciated the "we hear you, we believe you" messages I've seen on social media, and perhaps you've seen as well, as people share their stories of surviving sexual harassment and sexual assault. These are important first steps, but it will take significant cultural change to fully shift away from the vestiges of the notion that women are property. You don't need to treat a woman as you would treat your mother or your sister. Perhaps you've seen people write this. I appreciate the sentiment, but it should not be a radical notion to treat women as human beings. A word to my male friends that are with us this morning. A few social media posts, especially of the "well, I respect women" type, do not necessarily mean that you are fully an ally to women. I invite you to engage in some truth listening. You may learn an additional way or two that you can more authentically respect and stand with women. And if you've already been doing so, and I know that many of you here this morning have, as one woman, I want to say thank you. I'd also like to emphasize that changing laws does not change behavior and attitudes. It may do so, and it's a vital step, but it's not the decisive step. From addressing pay gaps to comments like, "well, what did she expect?" it will take determination to overcome even the most seemingly benign sexism, not to mention the outright misogyny that is all too prevalent in our nation. It will take not just truth-telling, but truth-listening as well. While there are all kinds of truth-telling that take place in one-on-one relationships, communities, and societies, the role of prophet is both naming what needs changed and giving a vision of how things can be ordered to get just a little closer to embodying the kingdom of God. Samuel is afraid because he has to tell Eli some really bad news about his family. However, the content of the vision implies that Eli already knew the bad news, already knew what his sons were up to. So other than it being awkward to talk to your foster dad about the actions of his grown sons, what did Samuel have to fear? I think Samuel is afraid because receiving a vision from God, receiving a call from God, quite frankly, can be really scary. If this vision came, what else might come? Eli gives Samuel a gift, a clear instruction on what to do with a vision. Don't hold back. Their relationship allows Samuel to learn to speak the truth from God, to learn to respond to God's call to share a prophetic word. Responding to a call from God takes discernment. The voice of God is all around us, but do we recognize it? Samuel didn't even put together what was happening right away. This passage illustrates the need for that discernment to take place in community. Eli is the one who recognizes God and then gives the encouragement for Samuel to share the message that he received from God. Prophetic leadership requires authentic relationships. This passage serves as a dramatic introduction to Samuel's role as a prophet. And we remember that the prophets do not only call out what is wrong, what is out of sync, but they name what can be. Of course, God speaking aloud doesn't happen too much these days, but there are certainly those who can testify to receiving a word from the Lord, a vision of what can be. Some names that might come to mind readily would be Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., or perhaps a modern prophet, Reverend Dr. William Barber. This week, I also thought about Bill Kirk, a foundry member for almost 30 years until his death in 2011, who in the 1960s helped end the institutionalized racism of the central jurisdiction of the Methodist Church upon the merger into the United Methodist Church. Several of the ministries of this congregation today give prophetic leadership in both civil society and in religious spheres, particularly in our own context in the United Methodist Church. Yet even as we strive to be truth tellers, we must always remember to be truth listeners as well. And this includes being in ministry with people and not just to people. Building relationships, and I think most importantly, being open to transformation ourselves. Also, in order to continue to refine how we are best ordering ourselves, and I will say, friends, it is nothing like the Israelite shift from judges to kings, as told in the next few chapters of 1 Samuel, that perhaps you received the email from Pastor Ginger last evening, and she will be giving a word about it in a moment as well. We are embarking on a period of some structural change here at Foundry in order to even better serve our mission to love God, love each other, and change the world. We're moving to a new staffing pattern, and I invite you to hold the staff and Foundry lay leadership in prayer during this upcoming time of transition, and in particular, to hold in prayer two of our clergy who are will be moving on to new appointments, and invite you to continue to hold them in prayer, and also as new clergy and staff people will be joining us. We don't know who they will be, but you can be in prayer for whom God may bring to us. Truth-telling and truth-listening. The mashup of Samuel and Eli shows us that authentic relationships with each other and indeed with God requires speaking the truth and listening to the truth. Don't hold back your hope, your pain, your joy, your torment, your peace, your brokenness. Don't hold back in building authentic relationships where your vulnerability might allow for another person's vulnerability to break through. Don't hold back in naming your experience. Don't hold back in speaking truth to power. Don't hold back from resisting evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. Don't hold back in speaking truth and love for the sake of the kingdom of God. Don't hold back from knowing that you are a beloved child of God. If you remember nothing from this morning, don't hold back from remembering that you are a beloved child of God, just as is baby Anna, who is getting baptized this morning. Don't hold back from being open to the transformative power of the one who shattered expectations and brings new life, the one who we strive to follow on this Reign of Christ Sunday. Don't hold back from seeing Christ in the stranger, in the refugee, in the immigrant. Don't hold back from seeing Christ in the imprisoned, the unhoused, the hungry, the naked, the sick. Don't hold back from responding to God's call. God calls you, and God calls you, Anne, and God calls you, John, and God calls me, and God calls all of us individually and as a community. And when God gives you a vision, don't hold back from sharing that vision. Don't hold back. Amen.